Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. Please check us out at BaltimorePositive.com. Luke Jones doing a great work out there at Baltimore. Luke, a short week as we get ready for the Philadelphia Eagles. Beginning next week, we really get going with the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. All of it presented by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I'll have Raven scratch-offs to give away next Tuesday at Coco's, lunchtime 1 to 4. We will be at Gertrude's on Wednesday. Or did I do that wrong? Did I mean Wednesday and not Thursday? That, strike that, reverse it. I did this right in the commercials. Why am I not doing this right on the air? We're going to be at Coco's on Wednesday. We're going to be at Gertrude's on Thursday. I'm confusing the fourth and fifth. All are brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Jiffy Lube MultiCare. I don't know what day of the week it is. The Ravens are playing on Monday, and then they're playing on Sunday, and they're not playing at 1 o'clock. They're playing at 4 o'clock, and dogs and cats, and Roquan Smith didn't even play. And they played well. And by the way, Luke, I know you're going to point this out. They fell behind again. And I don't know, the slow starts, we could talk about that for the as a part of the profile of the 2024 Baltimore Ravens. But also the fact that a run-first team, which is what they've been from the beginning, for better or worse, no matter how MVP'd up their quarterback is, they want to run the football. That falling behind is not a great thing when you want to run the football. This team has overcome at this point being 8-4.
Yeah. I mean, they trailed by 10 in Kansas City and came up short. And Isaiah likely toe away from having a chance to win it with a 2-point conversion. We know that. But since then, Ravens are 4-0 in games where they've trailed by 10 points, and they've done it in different ways. In Cincinnati, they trail by 10. Lamar Jackson does what he does through the air. Obviously, he and Joe Burrow put on a show two different times, and the Ravens trailed by 10 in each of those games against the Bengals. Think back, though, to that Monday night game in Tampa back in week 7. The Ravens got off to a similar slow start. This game was actually reminiscent of that in some ways. I mean, the Tampa Bay went up 10 points in that game. Lamar Jackson throws 5 touchdown passes. On Monday night, Ravens fall behind by 10. They didn't panic. You know, they were able to really start leaning into physicality and winning at the line of scrimmage. And as I mentioned, Derrick Henry, over 100 yards after contact, and they did it that way. Not that Lamar Jackson didn't have a strong night, because he throws a couple touchdown passes, ran a touchdown in himself, but they did it much more with their run game. So I've said it over and over and over that, yeah, John Harbaugh, you know, his identity has been running the football, but this team can beat you in so many different ways. But more than that, we've talked about it. Everything about this football team still points towards January. And what are you going to do in January? What are you going to do in the playoffs? How are you going to get to a Super Bowl? Are you going to get back to the AFC title game? Where's Kansas City going to be in that? Where's Buffalo going to be in that? But this team has really been tested in terms of trailing and not starting games as quickly as they would like to. And look, Todd Monken even talked about this last week, where he said even the Cincinnati game a couple weeks ago, he was lamenting the fact that they didn't start very fast in that game offensively, even though the final score wouldn't make you think that. But yeah, they'd like to start faster. But when you're in a position where you're down 10 and you've now come back 4 straight times when you've trailed 10 plus points to win games, boy, that's nice to have under the hood. That's nice to have in the back of your mind if that happens to play out in January. And you don't want it to. You know, you don't want to be down by 10 points, but it's very encouraging to see the Ravens be able to do this. And I saw this stat. It was from Action Network, so I can't take credit for this. I didn't do the research for this, so I can't 100% say. But it did.
I'm going to give Jimmy Shapiro full credit on that.
Looked like a reliable source, though. But the Ravens this year, 4-1. In games in which they've trailed by at least 10 points. The rest of the NFL, 18-130. So the Ravens, there have been 22 wins from NFL teams this year in which they've trailed by 10 points at least. The Ravens have 4 of them. So again, it speaks to this offense and how versatile and how multiple it is. It speaks to having an MVP quarterback and an all-pro running back who's on his way to the Hall of Fame. It speaks to the weapons they have in the passing game, but it also speaks to this team's character. And when we're trying to size up what it's going to take for this team to break through, That's been a big part of the narrative. That's been a big part of the storyline. As successful as this team has been for 6 years now in the Lamar Jackson era, when he's been healthy, they've been wildly successful in the regular season. But the narrative has been, how do you proceed when you do trail? Do you panic? Do you abandon the run? Are you able to do enough in the passing game? They've been able to do all of those things where maybe it is their passing game taking over, or on the case of Monday night, it was leaning into the run still and trying to and trusting the matchup against the Chargers, who like to play light boxes and too high safety. So very encouraging on that front. As I mentioned in our previous conversation, encouraged to see the defense take the steps forward that it's taken the last couple of weeks, especially with no Roquan Smith on Monday night. Lots of revamping and tweaking going on in that secondary. We've talked about safety. How about the fact that, they ran four different corners playing on Monday night? It was Marlon Humphrey, Nate Wiggins, Brandon Stevens. Actually, five, because they even had Jalen Armour-Davis on the field a little bit as well. So I don't know what exactly went into that, but those guys did a nice job. They definitely did. But again, this team, I get it. It's a 10-0 lead in the, or deficit in the first quarter. It's not the fourth quarter, so you don't want to panic. But we've accused this team of panicking in those situations in the past, and so for me to see them continue to do this, it's not ideal. You don't want to test that theory too much, but it's certainly nice that they have the ability to do that, understanding that you're not going to play perfect football for 60 minutes every single week.
Well, I mean, and they're also the kind of offense that 1 minute's on their 16-yard line and it's fourth and inches and they're thinking about it, they're thinking about it, they're baiting you at the 2 minute warning, they come back out, run it up your butt, and 20 seconds later they got 6 points. Like that it, there is an explosiveness and a quick strike. And I don't mean Zay Flowers or Bateman or even Deontay Johnson. I'm talking quick strike like 40 yards from scrimmage on a run. From
All of it.
Lamar or Derrick Henry, or even Zay Flowers on sort, they have three guys that can run it and gash you with the football if you're
Don't
not
forget
careful.
Justice Hill,
Oh, who
who
did
had a
it?
50
Who
yard
did it?
touchdown.
Who did it?
Yeah,
Right at the
yeah.
end. So the point that where there is comeback ability, really is there quick strike ability, right? Do you have quick strike ability? That's how you come back. Quick strike ability is 2 minute warning, 16 yard line, should be punting. Every team in the history of the National Football League, in the history of football, you said high school. Okay, maybe. Maybe you go for it on the 16-yard line there. But either way, nobody else does that. And they don't just do that, they then wind up taking a lead.
Yeah, they did that. And they even wound a minute off the clock after that on their next two plays. Because again, at that point in time, it was about possession. But I mean, this is such a dangerous offense. That's why we've talked so much about getting the defense up to a higher level. Again, it doesn't have to be great. Just be good enough. Just be decent. Just don't give up two play touchdown drives. Don't let the ball be thrown over your head for 60 yards. And they've done a better job of that the last couple of weeks. So, but this offense is just so dangerous. It's so multiple, so many different factors. I mean, Nestor, they haven't even gotten Keaton Mitchell involved yet, right? And that's fine. Bring the kid back slowly. I mean, he's got scar tissue and all that with the knee. Get him back. He's involved in, as a kick returner, all of that. There's meat on the bone there. We know that. I mean, if he's right physically, and every indication I've gotten is that he is, and they've been really excited about, his tracking data and practice and how fast he looks and all of that. But it truly is a case of there's only one football, and they still haven't gotten Deontay Johnson integrated into this offense. And look, it might not happen. In all honesty, it hasn't looked great when Lamar Jackson has tried to get him the football. That doesn't mean that's going to be the case come a month from now or 2 months from now in the playoffs. I mean, maybe he'll make a big play. But that's what we're talking about here. For so many years, whether we're going back to the very beginning, not the very beginning, meaning not 1996 and 97 with Michael Jackson and Derek Alexander and Vinny Testaverde, but from 1998 into the present, on a seemingly annual basis, we've talked about wide receivers and having enough weapons for whoever the quarterback is, Lamar Jackson, Joe Flacco, whoever, and all of that. Years where they've been lighter at running back because of injuries. I mean, go back to the post Super Bowl year with Jamal Lewis and what that meant when he went down. I mean, you just th this offensive roster is really, really impressive. And it's shaping up to be not just the greatest offense in the history of the franchise, but one of the great offenses of the last 25 years. However, to truly solidify that kind of a legacy, that has to play in January. You have to do those things in January. I mean, even in the telecast on Monday night, some of the numbers that they were comparing the Ravens to, they were comparing it to the Rams of 2000 and 2001. Now, the 2001 Rams got to the Super Bowl and lost to the Patriots, but that 2000 Rams team, their defense stunk, and it's why they took a step back after winning the Super Bowl the year before that. So, all of this is all about January. And when you continue to see how multiple they are, how deep they are, how many different guys can be involved, you have a quarterback with 30 touchdown passes and only three interceptions. He entered the night leading the league in yards per carry. You have Derrick Henry, second in the league in rushing behind Saquon Barkley, and has led the league in rushing for most of the year. You have Justice Hill, you have Keaton Mitchell potentially. I mean, you just go down the list. I mean, the offensive line. Let's give the offensive line their flowers. I mean, I thought they protected quite well on Monday night. And as I mentioned, that after the initial 10 minutes where I thought the Ravens kind of were losing at the line of scrimmage, I thought they won at the line of scrimmage very consistently. And it's part of what makes a fourth and inches from your own 17-yard line even a consideration
Well,
that
let's
you're
talk
offered
about
to.
the line for a minute because I saw Falele. They spotlighted him pulling off the right side to the left side, setting a block, springing a big hole. It might have been the Justice Hill. I'm not sure what play it was. They all kind of run together in the morning after, right? After a late
Right.
night. But, by the way, over the weekend, I was watching the Lions run around and watching other teams, watching Zeitler run around. And I'm thinking to myself, all right. Salary cap, they bring in Derrick Henry, they've changed the offense, they've changed the age profile, certainly of their offensive line, going from older veteran to Ronnie Stanley and a bunch of young guys, pretty much, right? I don't know. We spent so much oxygen, dude. Like April, May, June, July, August, September, talking about the offensive line. And the penalties, we're way into November. I'm eating pumpkin pie this week, eating turkey. They're still in first and 25. They're
Sure.
still having problems with holding penalties. And I don't know if holding's up around the league. It sort of feels that way. There's like a lot of laundry going on, a lot of like just grabbing. And when you watch it in slow-mo, you're like, dude, you can't do that, right? You can get away with that underneath the pile if you get away with it. But once the camera's on, it's like it's obviously holding. They don't get that call wrong much, right? Or unless there's really good acting, taking a nice little dive. But nobody wants the dive. You want to make a play of effort, especially on defense, because you might not get the call. You want to make the play. That being said, this gigantic experiment at right guard, right? Like literally, like you're like he's too big. He can't, and everybody, Troy Aikman was like, look at him, and. It's working, and it's working to a point where we're bragging on it at Thanksgiving, which is to Eric DaCosta's credit, and I don't have a whole lot of respect for his integrity, but I have his respect for his football acumen. I would have said back in August, and I said this to you. You can probably go back and find the tapes. Dude, DaCosta and Harbaugh think this is okay. They think this is their best. They've all had the whole offseason to think about this and money and what they were going to do. They believe this offensive line was going to gel, as we'd like to say, or come together, or that they had enough components, Patrick McCary being another part of that. We talked a lot about him as a swing man versus a starter and where that would need to be, and Rosengarten and how quick he would get up to speed. They've had a lot of problems with penalties. The offensive line has really cost this operation possessions. Because of down and distance, right? And also cost Derrick Henry a chance to get established in a couple of these games lately. But that being said, it's not a weakness of their team. They're top 10 all-time offense. Had Aaron Schatz on this week, talking DVOA. They were right. I don't want to say we were wrong. I mean, we questioned them. I didn't say it wasn't going to work. I just said, what's the plan here on the offensive line? Well, the plan is, I mean, they're only 8-4. And again, I would say a lot of that has to do with penalties and their defense not being very good, right? But and not great fortune. I mean, Isaiah Foot, Likely's foot on the line, and little those one plays. But those one plays have added up for four losses. That's a lot of losses for them. And but the offensive line, we're not sitting here saying, can they win a playoff game on the road in January as comprised? Would are they good enough? Are they stout? We're not talking about them the way we talked about the Chiefs' offensive line when everybody get hurt and they're losing to Tom Brady, or the Bengals' offensive line when they went into the Super Bowl half-assed against the Rams, where it just wasn't any good. The offensive line wasn't any good. I don't know if this offensive line is the greatest offensive line they've ever had,
No, far from it.
but it's been very capable to do what they needed to do. And they've had 6 years to design this. They know what their offense is. They looked at Monken and said, what do you want? What do you need? What does Lamar need? What does Mark Andrew? What do we need here? And they settled on this, and it's been good enough.
It's been good enough. I mean, it's very similar terms to what we've talked about with what the defense needs to be. When you have an MVP quarterback and you have the skill players that they have. It's not an elite offensive line. It certainly helps that you have Tyler Linderbaum, who is an elite center. It helps that you have a Ronnie Stanley, who I don't think has been elite this year, but certainly has been much closer to that than he has been at any point over the last 5 years. I think we would all agree with that.
And he also has
So
an elite mind, Ronnie
sure, I mean,
Stanley.
he's
You know, he
experienced,
knows
right?
where he's supposed to be. I mean,
Sure,
no,
no question.
he when he goes up to the line of scrimmage, he knows his assignment, everybody else's assignment. He knows what's supposed to happen. Now, when Chris Jones is beating him, or when, Max Crosby's just better than him on that play for that 4 seconds, then that's what it is. But Ronnie Stanley's not going to get
He's
you
been
beat with
above
his head.
average. He's been
Yeah.
above average, right? And that's coming off of a season where he was maybe average at best, at his best last year, and not 100%
I
healthy.
would
And
say adequate is what I would have said for him last year, right?
yeah,
Adequate.
but at times not so good though. I mean, and his health was an
But
issue. I
take
mean,
his name and his jersey off. He's just a
you
guy
would have said he
based
was a
on how
guy,
he
right?
played last year.
Exactly. But
Right.
he was being paid not to be just a guy. So yeah, I think you look at this offensive line again, like I said with the defense, can it be good enough? It's not the best offensive line they've had, far from it. But for what it's worth, and it's one source, all of this is still subjective, but Pro Football Focus does offensive line rankings every week, and it's kind of based off of their grading system, which again is not perfect. I'm not, but they put in the effort. They lay the groundwork for it. They had the Ravens 11th. We kind of said before the season, right, that if they could be in that neighborhood of average to slightly above average, and they've been that. They've been that. The right side of the line is still the relative weakness,
Well, if they
right?
were the 36th ranked offensive line, like the defense has been on the secondary side, they wouldn't be 8-4. I mean, they
Sure.
just wouldn't be. And I
Sure.
think we were concerned that they wouldn't be the 32nd ranked offensive
But it
line,
might
but
be
we
bottom
thought bottom
five
half.
or
Yeah, we
bottom
thought,
10. Yeah.
yeah. And more than that, with the penalties added in, whatever they are, it's worse than it looks. You know what I mean? For sacks allowed and pressures and Lamar and this and that, the penalties are egregious.
I mean, they make things hard on them. Well, and you know what? It's a big reason why when you look at their record and look, I mean, 8-4, that's an 11-6 season kind of pace. It's not. Okay, it's not what they were last year, but it's still really good. So I don't want to make too much of that. But when you look at them from a point differential standpoint, when you look at the fact that they don't have six blowout wins in the way that they did, and I don't know how many they had at this point last year, but we know they blew out a lot of teams. 2019, they blew out a lot of teams. They don't have, they're not on that kind of a pace from a point differential standpoint this year, and the penalties are a big part of that. On both sides of the ball. Not both sides of the ball, all three phases. They've had penalties on special teams that have continued to hurt them, and that hurts them in the field position department. So no, this is not a perfect football team. It's not a perfect offensive line. Again, in an ideal world, yeah, you'd still have Kevin Zeitler at right guard, but he's making up more money than Daniel Faalele is right now, and he's considerably older. And the Ravens wanted to bring in Derrick Henry, and they used that money that would have gone to Kevin Zeitler to bring in Derrick Henry. And it's certainly difficult to argue with that choice at this point in time. Faalele's been good enough. Roger Rosengarten's been good enough. And where you like hearing the word good enough is when you're talking about young players, when you're talking about inexperienced players. W when it's a good enough veteran, that's a stopgap, right?
Well, Malik Harrison's good enough, right? Like, good enough.
Well, good enough to fill in for Roquan Smith for one game. If Roquan Smith were out for the season, then that's a different story. But, the point I was trying to make, John Simpson last year, good enough at left guard. He was below average as a starter, but he was a stopgap. In the case of Faalele and Rosengarten, and especially Rosengarten, considering he's a second round pick, there's upside there. There's long-term growth that you're projecting out. And that doesn't mean that they're going to become Pro Bowl caliber offensive linemen. But when you're looking at it and you decide to go young, it comes down to this. You've got to be on point with what you think your baseline is. And that's where I give John Harbaugh and Eric DaCosta and George Warhop, their offensive line coach, to replace Joe Dallas-Andrews. I mean, that's still the part of this that
It's a
not you and
chapter
me,
in the book if they win a Super
just
Bowl. There's no question,
in a
right?
general sense, that's the part of this that we have not made nearly enough about. And part of it is wanting to have sensitivity to not talk about something that's a real life. This is someone who lost his life, but there are very serious football ramifications for that happening, for this O-line and this offense. So for them to overcome that has been wildly impressive, and it's good enough. In games where the Ravens have to drop back in a more traditional pass set standpoint where they become a little more predictable, yeah, this offensive line gets exposed a little bit more. And when they go up against elite pass rushers, yeah, it's been exposed a little bit more. By the way, that's the case for anyone, right? I mean, whether you have a revamped offensive line or even a bunch of veterans, when you're going up against a tough pass rush like Pittsburgh or, someone like Max Crosby or Myles Garrett or Trey Hendrickson. I mean, yeah, Chris Jones, you're going to have issues with them. I mean, this offense isn't perfect, but it's incredible. And a big reason why it's been able to be incredible has been that their offensive line has been good enough. On Monday night, I saw Next Gen Stats. Lamar Jackson had an average time of throw of 3.43 seconds. That's a long time. Now, how much of that is Lamar, his style? He holds the ball longer than typical quarterbacks because he can scramble and it allows them to, beat teams in scramble drills. He can get out of the pocket, all those different things. However, even with the Lamar factor, you still have to pass protect well enough to allow him to hold the ball and move around and do those things. So, Lamar, those the O linemen, they'd be the first to tell you, Lamar Jackson helps them immensely, way more than those times where maybe Lamar does something that makes an offensive lineman not look as good.
But also, him screwing around costs them an eligible receiver downfield, which happened a
Sure.
couple times last week. And him screwing around gives them more of a chance to hold, right?
Yeah.
So that, you give 5 second, 6 second plays. That's, one bump, two bump, you're around the edge. I got an elbow on you, grab you. And that's
And
where the
that's part of
penalties
it.
happen, you know?
That's part of it. Yeah. So look, this offense is unconventional, but guess what? Unconventional is good in this case. It's very good because, again, you can't prepare for the Ravens in one certain way. And this goes back to the beginning of our conversation, how they've become so multiple and they've become so diverse in what they can do that even when you jump out to a 10-0 lead on them, where 5 years ago you kind of said, oh, no, that's not good. That's not what they want. No one wants to fall behind. But they've shown an ability that they don't panic and they can continue to play their game even on Monday night, still running the ball. They didn't abandon it. Other games where they've fallen behind by 10, Lamar's gone into more of a pass mode and it's worked out for them beautifully in those instances. So, but the offensive line, they deserve credit. They absolutely do. This group has been good enough. It's not perfect, but like we've talked about with the defense, if the standard is, can you win a Super Bowl with the way this offensive line is played? I would emphatically say yes. Can you win a Super Bowl with this defense the way it's played over the course of the year? I still have questions. I still want to see them continue to make strides, but that's where it's been more encouraging the last couple of weeks. But, again, 4-1 this season in games in which they've fallen behind by 10 plus points. I get it. It's not the same as if you're on the road in Buffalo or on the road in Kansas City as playing Tampa Bay or any of those, but it's all you have to go off of right now. So I'd rather see them be able to do it than not. And again, it's been encouraging, but hats off to that offensive line because that group has been almost from the beginning of the season. You know, they had their couple hiccups early on, but from about late September on, that offensive line is more often than not, it has absolutely been good enough for this team, and big reason why they're 8-4.
Luke Jones can be found at Baltimore Luke anywhere the internet travels this week. He'll be found over turkey dinner with his family up in South Central Pennsylvania on Thursday. Hope everybody has a great Thanksgiving. We're going to have the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road next week. All brought to you by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Jiffy Lube MultiCare. Sort of a weird week putting things together. By the way, what was your degree in? I don't even know. I probably should know that. At one point, I took your resume 17 years ago. Mine was corporate communication. Was yours like English or something?
Elementary education.
Elementary education. Okay, so English was a part of it. I used the word egregious earlier, and I had to like look it up. I wanted to see what, Merriam-Webster and Michel Roget would have to say about it, because I used it in regard to egregious defense and defensive, and whether the offensive line was egregious, outstandingly bad. I thought that's what? Outstandingly bad, shocking. That's 32nd ranked defense. I would say that the offensive line, when we were talking about it, we thought that that was going to be a liability, not a part of their charm. And I would say, and I would have said this in August, and I think I've always been very much more fair to Eric DaCosta and John Harbaugh than they've been with me. But I was fair in saying they believe in it, give it a chance, let's see how it works. And they believed in it and have stayed and seen it through, right? Because it was not very good the first month, right? We would admit. And certainly the penalties all along have been egregious, outstandingly bad. They've been outstandingly bad at penalties.
Yeah, and look, I mean that's still something they need to clean up. And I almost want to say at this point, and you know me, Nestor, I don't like living in the world of complaining about officiating because I still think in the long run it tends to even out. But that said, when you are a team that has built a well-earned reputation for committing penalties, I'm guessing crews are probably going to be looking at you a little more carefully with a little more scrutiny. So, are there some times where maybe they're drawing a few more ticky-tack calls than your average team from a penalty standpoint? Probably, but it's one of those deals where you kind of have to, you make your bed and you sleep in it, right? So I think that's obviously where they still need to improve. I mean, for as much as Patrick McCary at left guard has been a good story, because keep in mind, I mean, Andrew Voorhees started the year as the starting left guard, and they pivoted with him struggling, and he had the ankle, and then McCary, doing a good enough job where they said, "Hey, we're going to go with it." The penalties for him specifically, he's got to knock that out. Especially him being a veteran player, he's got to knock that out. But look, no team's going to be perfect, and part of this whole offensive line conversation still goes back to the idea that you have a salary cap, and you have so many resources. It's finite. It's not like the Mets or the Dodgers where you go spend $300 million, right? You have a fixed number of cap dollars, and yeah, you can do things to create space, but there's always a cost. There's always a hidden cost, an opportunity cost with whatever you do. And that's where the Ravens do deserve credit, where they looked at this and said, you know what? We're going to get younger on the offensive line. It's probably going to have some hiccups, but we think it over the course of the year, it will be good enough. And lo and behold, it's been good enough. It's still the relative weakness of their offense, but relative weakness being average is a heck of a lot better than being a bottom five or bottom 10 offensive line, which I think is where a lot of people were concerned. So give them credit. Yeah, the penalties are, it's an issue. It's an issue in every phase of the game for the Ravens right now. I mean, it just is. They have way too many penalties on special teams, let alone talking about your offense or your defense. So they've got to figure that out. And at times it's cost them this year, including the Pittsburgh game last week. But by and large, this offensive line has absolutely exceeded expectations for the outside world. And if you're John Harbaugh and Eric DaCosta, it seemingly has met expectations, because I don't think they went into the season thinking that their offensive line was going to stink. I think they figured that was going to be more of an unknown, and they had some questions there, but They clearly had some conviction that Daniel Faalele could be an acceptable right guard, and he's been acceptable. You know, whether he's going to be long term, you know, he's not going to be the next Marshall Yanda, I don't think, but he's playing well enough. Rosengarten, I think, is going to end up being a pretty good player. I still think that, even though he's had his growing pains as a rookie. So, you know, again, it
Not
helps
enough to
having.
get him off the field.
Yeah, exactly.
I
I
mean,
mean,
the
he's.
more they play, the better they're getting. I guess that would be the other part for me. And that's every offensive line
Right.
in the history of offensive lines, is
Yeah.
that we're sitting here talking about an 8-4 team that we wish were a 10-2 team, but we're happy that they're not a 7-5 team. Especially losing 10-0 early in the game, and things look like it could have gotten away. It's your brother on brother and all that going on Monday night. Now, short rest on the Eagles. Anything on this with Saquon Barkley and stopping the run? We'll be talking about this a little bit. Short week, Thanksgiving, Black Friday, all of that going on. Tall task this way. I mean, it was just going to be a big week either way. Then the rest and the awfulness of the Giants, and then that bang, bang, bang of three big games at the end of the month. I mean, they're in a position, as Brian Billick would have said 24 years ago now. Wow. We're all getting old. It's all sitting there, right? It's all sitting there for you. Division sitting there, home game sitting there for you. The Chiefs started to back up a little bit. Who knows if Mahomes turns an ankle? That would change it. You know, things that change everything is Lamar getting hurt or some other quarterback getting hurt or the Bills getting out of the way. All that being said, still a 4-5 team race, and the Ravens are one of them. Steelers, still one of them, and you're going to have to see them later in the month. But we start to whittle away. At 8-4, you start to look at January as being there and not the fight to get there so much and say, where are they going to be in January? Where's their health going to be? But to your point, offensive line playing well enough. Skill position players coming on. Running game still there. Defense, well, it was awful. It can't be. Hopefully, by the time you get to Christmas, it's only the 28th ranked pasty. You know, hopefully, it's making strides that once January gets here, you get the best version of. Roquan Smith, the best version of Ardarius Watt, you know, like once they get their sea legs under them and start playing. And the good news is they got back on a plane and flew home again without more injuries, right? They've been very
Yeah.
fortunate in that way.
I mean, we think so, right? I mean, you never know. I mean, you can always have something pop up, but
But
I mean, this.
Lamar's going to play on Sunday.
Sure. Hey, you have Lamar Jackson, you have a chance, right? I mean, it's that simple. You have a healthy Lamar Jackson, you have a chance against anybody. And I think this is going to be an interesting football game on Sunday. I mean, the Eagles are playing at a very high level on both sides of the ball. Their defense has really come on after what. Their, you know, when you look at their collapse last year and how bad their defense was down the stretch, you know, Vic Fangio has done a nice job with them. You know, rocky start, first 4 weeks or so, their defense not as good. It's been very good since then. And I mean, Saquon Barkley has been phenomenal. You know, we've talked a lot about Derrick Henry here in Baltimore, understandably so. Saquon Barkley has been incredible. I mean, he's been so dynamic that he's in the MVP conversation.
And how about this? A year and a half ago, I got together with Chad Wiesling and Chris Pica. We did it over in West Baltimore, and Josh Jacobs was trying to get paid, right? J.K. Dobbins was trying to get paid, right? Like everybody's trying to get paid. And as we sit here on Thanksgiving Day, and you know, we'll have turducken on behalf of John Madden and the Big Uglies, and oh, boom in there, and they run the ball, and Derrick Henry's changed this program. Saquon Barkley's changed the Eagles program. Josh Jacobs has changed the Packers program. And all of a sudden, running the ball's cool if you can do it really well.
It is, but also keep in mind those guys are with good teams too. And Derrick Henry would tell you he's having the season he's having because of Lamar Jackson. And Saquon Barkley has been dynamic. He's been that. That's where I think he probably should belong in the MVP conversation,
But we were
what he's done.
discussing as an industry that these guys
Well,
have no value, no staying power, don't pay them a lot of money. Even to your point, it's like, well, the Ravens are going young. Everybody's going young. They're going to draft Dobbins. They're going to get Keaton Mitchell in the field. In the end,
they're
they're going to
all.
spend $10 million on a real running back and a man who clearly on Monday night with Derrick Henry. By the way, the Oilers jersey, I found it again on sale for the holidays. It's like $60, and I'm thinking maybe I might need it in January. But the running back position. And the value of that position to me has been elevated in the minds of everybody this year in watching what that kind of running back can do for your program. And I agree, you have to have a quarterback, you have to have all of that,
Right.
but let's not pretend that it's a plug and play position. You can just put anybody back there with Tom Brady and let him run around, and that'll be good enough. Maybe good enough, but not what is ideal, which is second and one and second and two in your running game.
Well, but keep in mind the offensive line is also a huge factor with this. I mean, it absolutely is. Derrick Henry, we've talked about it. That's why I Monday night for me was maybe his best performance of the season because of how much of it was yards after contact. Derrick Henry's had some games where he hasn't been touched because of Lamar Jackson and their scheme and everything that a defense has to account for. But look, are we going to go back to the days where suddenly running backs are valued like they were 20 years ago? No, because that was wrong too, because there are always exceptions to the rule, but that doesn't mean that you should pay your guy. And I'll say this, Saquon Barkley's been incredible this year, but it is also year one of a multi-year contract, right? Let's see how that ages. But what we're seeing and what we've seen over the last 10 years, let's say, is we think back to a time where running backs were viewed almost in the same way we talked about quarterbacks, right? And running backs were valued and running backs would win MVPs and all that. So analytics become more prevalent in the game. And when we kind of look at things and we say, okay, how valuable is the running back? When you talk about the ground game, doesn't mean he's not important, but I think what analytics illuminated for many people was it was much more about the offensive line than having a quote name at running back. That said, it swings so far in that direction to the point now where the truly elite running backs are undervalued. I don't think that, I think the worst lesson that teams could take from this, and I'm going to pick on this Carolina Panthers here for a moment, who just paid Chuba Hubbard big money, even though they just drafted a running back in the second round and they have all kinds of other needs. I think that's probably not going to be end up being a very good deal. And
In
three
the end,
years
they
from
have
now,
an
you
ownership need.
sure. Well, yeah, of course. But the whole point with this is, we got to a point where teams became quote smarter when it came to running backs, but it overcorrected to the point where running backs then became undervalued. And again, we're talking about elite ones here. I can still go out there and find you running backs that are paid too much in the same way you can do that with any position, mind you. But there are always exceptions, and Saquon Barkley doing what he's done for the Eagles, and understanding the Eagles have had a really good offense and have had a good offensive line, so that's helped him as well. And Derrick Henry coming in here, who has had a Hall of Fame career, but Derrick Henry will be the first to tell you the reason he's had this much success to this degree has very much been because of the presence of number eight and what that means. And that's a give take. So the truth was always somewhere in the middle. There was a time where running backs absolutely were overrated and overvalued across the board. But then we swung so much in the opposite direction where you start to say, oh, there are still some running backs that are that valuable to their team. But you just need to be
By the way, I
nuanced.
haven't looked back in the last 15 years, but how many running backs are drafted in the first round? One, two, most years. You go back into the 80s, maybe four or five, right? Like, so the different feeling about what it means to win the Heisman being a running back when, like it's the game has changed, the way salary structures have changed, but it still hasn't changed the game that if you have Derrick Henry and you're in second and two and second and three and you're running game, can do that, whether it's because of Lamar or whether it's because you have Emmitt Smith. I don't, whatever it is, or OJ Simpson, right? Like,
Offensive line, offensive line, offensive line. I'm going to keep saying it. Running game is, generally speaking, is more about the offensive line than anything else. That's proven out over and over now. That doesn't mean Derrick Henry isn't great. That doesn't mean Saquon Barkley isn't great. But Derrick Henry ran behind a lousy offensive line in Tennessee last year. He averaged, I think, 4.1 or 4.2 yards per carry. Pretty ordinary,
and a lot of
right?
Monday morning pain from the hits.
Sure. But the point. It's the entire operation. But when you have that operation, that doesn't mean that you can't still bring in a dynamic running back that won't make your offense better overall. That's the
Well,
point.
the Eagles
It's,
just did it, right? And so did
yeah,
the Ravens.
they did. And look, the Eagles and the Ravens also had cheap running backs do really impressive things for them as well. So the truth is in the middle, right? Do I think this is going to mean a this massive renaissance and running backs are going to start to be valued in the way they were 25 years ago? Absolutely not. But I do think it should help the elite of the elite running backs get a little bit more bread, right? Because of what Saquon Barkley's doing this year, because of what Derrick Henry is doing this year. And Derrick Henry's, that was essentially a one-year deal with the team option, right? I mean, it's not like that was a long-term commitment, whereas Barkley it was. But even still, look at how much Barkley's being paid relative to what Adrian Peterson got a decade ago, decade plus ago. It's still, a far cry from where it was at one point in time. So, yeah, there was a market correction and then the market overcorrected. And now I think you're going to see it bounce back a little bit. That does not mean, however, that every team should pay their running back. And quarterback is a great example, as we'll be seeing the New York Giants in a few weeks as the Ravens go up there in mid-December. Daniel Jones is not a quarterback you pay, for example. And we see quarterbacks across the league that need to be paid. The same applies for every position, including running back. Saquon Barkley, yeah, he looks like the kind of running back that you should pay that. But again, I will also stress, let's see what that looks like in year two, year three, year four. Again, it is a brutal position as it pertains to injuries and wear and tear. So, but yeah, I think this has been a good year for the running back position in general, and certainly Derrick Henry and Saquon Barkley. How often do you have this? The two leading rushers in the NFL going to go head to head in week 13. That's pretty special. Looking
All
forward
the
to it
more
on
reason to
Sunday.
get Chad Wesley back after the Crab Cake Tour next month so he can tell me just how valuable running backs are as a football guy. Baltimore Luke is Luke Jones. You can find him anywhere the internet travels. You're an apple pie guy, right? Or are you a pumpkin pie guy? What are you?
More of an apple. I like both, but apple's my favorite. Yeah.
Well, I hope you have a beautiful Thanksgiving, and I hope you don't work too hard. I hope that the Ravens have practice at some decent. Kind of a weird week, right? I mean, getting off a plane at 8 in the morning on Tuesday morning for the team, and sleeping in, and then getting back, and then having to play at 4 o'clock on Sunday. And really some nice downtime. If we're going to talk about this game this week and what it represents, and Philadelphia, Baltimore, all that stuff, they're going to get to sleep in a little bit after this game, and boy, would it smell a lot nicer at 9-4 than 8-5.
No question about it. And hey, who knows? Could be talking about a Super Bowl preview here. I mean, the Detroit Lions will have something to say about that. Kansas
Lived through
City and
that in
Buffalo.
baseball in '83. I don't know that I could ever do a Baltimore Philadelphia Super Bowl or a Baltimore Washington Super Bowl.
Yeah,
We've done
it's.
Baltimore Pittsburgh AFC Championship games, you know what I mean? A couple times. I mean, like,
That's
we're, you
different,
know.
though. I mean, yeah, that's a division rival. There's such a familiarity there. I mean, yeah, there would be a novelty to Ravens Eagles or Rave. I mean, Commanders not this year. I mean, they're going the wrong way right now. They're still a year away, a couple years away probably, if it ever happens. And I'm not rooting for it to happen. But Baltimore, Philadelphia. I mean, two really, really impressive teams going head to head on Sunday. And as you mentioned, a short week probably mitigated a little bit by the fact that the Eagles played Sunday night in LA, so they had a long flight as well. So not the short week in the same way, but shorter than if they played at home or something like that. But be interesting to see how this plays out. And like I said, that Eagles defense has played very well over the last 5, 6 weeks, but they haven't played an offense like Lamar Jackson in this Ravens offense right now. And we know the whole NFC history thing, so we'll see if this Eagles defense can make any kind of a dent in that narrative, because we know how that has typically gone for even the elite teams in the NFC going up against Lamar Jackson. But can't ask for much better the first Sunday in December than Ravens Eagles. And to your point, will be a good test and then a much needed bye week for this team that isn't injured a whole lot, but certainly has their share of guys that are banged up and could really use some time to get off their feet before they make the final stretch run.
Yeah, you could use Roquan Smith on the field on Sunday, 4 o'clock. Ravens 2.5 point favorites to start the thing, over under 50.5. He is Luke. He is Baltimore Luke. You can find him, Luke Jones, anywhere the internet travels. I hope everyone has a beautiful Thanksgiving. We're going to get the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road. We're giving you the entire list of how you can get Ravens scratch-offs to come out beginning at Coco's on Wednesday, not Tuesday. I'm screwing dates up. Wednesday next week, and then Thursday we're going to be at the BMA at Gertrude's with my cousin, John Shields, cousin by marriage. Thank you to my son for marrying marrying into the Shields family, so I get delicious crab cakes and oysters. And we're also going to be visiting with family by friendship and Dan Rodericks, who's been my great-great uncle or cousin. I don't know whether he thinks of himself as paternal, brotherly, uncle. I don't know what he was doing when he was teaching me how to fly fish. Next Thursday, we're going to talk about his acting and his writing skills. We'll be doing that at Gertrude's. All that brought to you by our friends at Jiffy Lube Multi Care as well. I am Nestor. He is Luke. The Ravens win another one. Short week. Happy Thanksgiving. We're WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore positive.